and welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we talk about topics related to fundraising, leadership, coaching, and management for professionals in the nonprofit world. I'm Janice Cunning, and I'm here with my colleague, Michelle, and we're excited to have a special bonus podcast today. Why don't you introduce our guest, Michelle?
Yeah, we're excited to have Dawn Marie Schlegel join us today. She's the Associate Vice President of Donor Relations and Engagement at the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. And she's currently being coached by Janice, and she's participated in a lot of our fundraising leadership training and workshops, and she's agreed to come here today to showcase what coaching looks like. So thank you so much, Dawn Marie, for being here with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and you get a special coaching by Michelle today, so that's very exciting.
It's a bonus exactly. Coaching on a bonus podcast.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. And I think just before you two dive in, like just to set some context, we were talking about this idea because we realized like a lot of times people don't quite know what coaching is. It's a little mysterious, right, Michelle? Like, and we don't get a lot of opportunities because obviously it is confidential. So we really appreciate, Dawn Marie, that you're willing to, you know, pick a topic today that you feel you can talk about in front of people. And yeah, our hope is to like give a little snippet of what a coaching session is like. And my role will really be to observe and then to kind of play back the tape at the end and point out some of the skills that Michelle uses. And so I will say, as engaging as Dawn Marie is, as you're listening, also be noticing like what Michelle's doing, because you know one of the big things we like to do here at Fundraising Leadership is teach leaders like how to use coaching skills. So you'll want to pay attention to like the skills and the techniques that Michelle's using.
Yeah, and this topic that Dawn Marie is bringing is real. So this is a real coaching topic. Yeah. All right. Well, let's do a few minutes of coaching so our audience can get a taste of what it's like. So great. Thank you, Dawn Marie, for doing this.
I look forward to it, Michelle.
Is there anything special that you need from me today, knowing that there will be listeners listening to this coaching today?
No, I don't think so. I think the only thing for me is that, you know, we'll stay very neutral around names and those sorts of things. But otherwise, I just look forward to the conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what is the coaching topic for today?
So I am fortunate enough to be able to hire during this pandemic time. And one of the things I would love some insight into and just your help around would be how to onboard that new employee to make sure that that person is feeling engaged and excited about the role they're taking on. But I also need to balance that with the rest of the team and where their energy level is and how I can help the rest of the team integrate this new person into their world, as well as our world integrating the new person, so that we're sort of making sure that both sides are feeling like this is a good decision and a good fit when they may be at very different energy levels, just given the circumstances.
Yeah. So there's a lot of levels of how to integrate this person. Yeah. I can hear a little bit of breathlessness in you, like, oh my God.
Maybe just a little.
Yeah. Okay, great. So at the end of the day, like if this person was onboarded at 6 months from now and everything went smoothly, what might that look like for you? What are you hoping it looks like?
I'm hoping that it looks like it would have been sort of in the before times, even though we have to do it differently, and it may take longer. We may have to try different things to see whether or not it's working for all the parties involved. And I really want that new person to feel like this, they've made the right decision, that they're in the right place, they're feeling like they're part of the team. And I want the team to feel like, wow, this was another great addition to our already good team. And it's just about now taking that energy and moving things forward. And not feeling they're sort of, you know, someone's sort of been stuck onto the edge.
Yeah. And I can hear that there's sort of, I wish it was before times kind of wish.
I'll be very frank. I have not onboarded someone entirely virtually. Like I have never met this person live. Yeah. So I know what I would do if that was the case. And so I also am trying to figure out where I need to be and how I need to be to make sure that they're feeling a part of the team.
Yeah. And I hear that, having them feel like they're part of a team sounds like one of your values coming out there.
Yes.
Yeah. What's that value?
I think it's probably a couple, certainly purpose for me. And then also that respect and clarity. So their role is clear in this new space. They understand how I work and how the rest of the team works. As I said, that respecting sort of their new role and sort of how they can take on what's going to be before them in that new role. And I think it's also a little bit for me about purpose, to making sure that the current team and this new person see how valuable it can be to come together and how what working together might look like.
Right, right. Dawn Marie, I have only just met you and I can feel how lucky this person and this team is to have you as their leader. You care so deeply about everyone working well together and really understanding their roles and having that clarity of communication and working well together.
It's really important to me, I mean, as to make the team work and for us to be able to do what we need to do, especially like this, that if we're not communicating well or people aren't feeling like they can, we can't do the old fashioned, just pop into somebody's office for 2 minutes to clarify something and now becomes a thing where you have to schedule a call or, and I'm missing that with the team. And it's one of those things that I'm trying to figure out how the best way to do that is we bring someone new into the dynamic. For sure.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So knowing your, what's most important about this for you?
I think there's two things. First of all, that the new person is feeling like they're integrated into the team and that they really understand sort of what their the clarity around what that role is. And the second is for the team to be excited about this new person coming in.
Okay, so to be integrated and for the team to be excited about this person coming in. Indeed. So there's sort of two ways. Yeah, yeah. So what's a few ideas that come to mind right now?
So I'm putting together an onboarding plan and I'm hoping that really a lot of it.
Again, you got a little breathless, like.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. An onboarding plan.
Here we go. Yeah. So in that onboarding plan, a lot of it is about making sure that the new person is meeting with different combinations of people on the team, that they're meeting one-on-one as well as in a group settings, so they can see how that dynamic works as well. I also need to introduce them to the broader organization so they understand how our artistic team works and how our communications team works and our marketing team works and all of those other parts of the organization that they will be absolutely and almost immediately working with. and so I'm, want to make sure that I'm able to join some of my colleagues' team meetings to be able to introduce our new person into that group. I expect to spend a lot of one-on-one time with them as they're coming up to speed and sort of understanding even where to find things on the.
So I'm going to intrude for just a minute. It sounds like you are, you're working really hard to make sure they're meeting all the right people in the right combinations. In fact, in as many combinations as they possibly can.
Yes.
In order to feel this connection.
Yes.
Okay. How will you know they do feel this connection at the end of the day?
I think that's going to be a lot about my conversation with the individual to see how they're feeling about this. Do they have enough information? Do we need to go back and look at something more one-on-one instead of group? Do we information as well, and for me to be able to listen to them around like how they're feeling
we're having a little bit of an internet connection right now. Yeah, sorry Dawn Marie, we're having a little bit of an internet connection.
Like my internet may have been Sorry, am I back with you there, Michelle?
You're back. You're back now.
Okay. Apologies.
So the question was, how will you know that they feel connected? So I'm sorry, I'm going to have you answer it again.
Of course. So I think a lot of it is going to be for me understanding and listening to their feedback from the meetings. So are in those meetings, did they get what they needed? Did they feel like they understood how those teams worked?
So you want to ask them at I really certain do just intervals.
And all the way through, sort of have a better understanding of that, you know, and have a good sense of communication between the two of us as to where, what was helpful, what they needed more information on, where they might need more direction, that sort of thing.
You know, I notice your voice gets a little bit more grounded when you talk about asking them some of the questions about how do you feel? Do you have what you need? Are you getting some of your questions answered? Than you do when you talk about coming up with the plan.
That could very well be.
Are you noticing that too?
Yes. Yes. When you point it out, yes.
Yeah. So, what's important about that for you, asking them questions?
The importance there for me is that it's so critical for them to feel like they're being heard because this is a new adventure for them. They're coming in not knowing anybody. Mm-hmm. And so how can they start to feel like they're developing the relationships they need to develop? So that for me, like hearing from them personally, A, starts to engage our working relationship, but then also understanding what that working relationship might translate into with some of their new colleagues.
Yeah, right. And in terms of integrating them into the team and knowing how the team is feeling, what kind of questions might you ask the team to evaluate as you go through this?
I think, again, it's going to come down to asking them about how are they understanding how the new role would work with their position. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, do they feel they've spent enough time with the new person, and whether or not they feel that they should actually have more or less, depending on what their role might be, mm-hmm. or, you know, a better understanding, or, you know, where the dynamic might be working with them one-on-one versus in a group if they've only had that opportunity to meet in a group setting. So again, I think it's also about listening to what my current colleagues are saying around how they can be helpful and also learning more about this than our new colleague.
You know, as you're speaking, I can't, it's like I'm getting this vision of you, you being this listener. It's like you as the leader of all of this onboarding and integration, right? You've got really big ears, and you're just sort of tuning your ears to what you need to listen for in order to know, okay, put a little more energy here, excuse me, or put a little more energy here. You know, it's like there's an ease to that rather than I must drive it. I must make sure that everyone's got what they need.
I like that first bit. I mean, I feel like a lot of my role is the listener. I mean, there'll be some, you know, obviously connecting and educating that may need to happen just on the logistics around a few things. But on the integration part, I do very much feel like I'm the listener, and how can I, as you said, sort of steer and guide as to where we need to go to make sure that that part is successful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's steering and going and guiding, and you're doing this with your hands a lot. So I
can't help it. I don't think I'd be able to talk if I didn't use my hands.
I'm a hand talker too. So I love that. But there was also like the way you were doing that, it was almost like this, a dance that felt pretty smooth and easy.
I hope so. I would like it to be that way, so that, you know, certainly my current colleagues are feeling like it is a very smooth integration, and my new colleague is also feeling the same.
So what if this was easy?
Oh, Michelle, if it was easy, I'd be like, oh, fantastic. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. Yeah. So this perspective of easy would feel like, oh my gosh, yes, fantastic. Let's just go. Let's just do this.
Yeah.
There's an eagerness there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. What else would easy feel like?
easy would also feel like a really good opportunity to get to work quickly and really see some results potentially very early in this, where I will admit I have set a longer goal because I've never had to do this before, like to onboard someone as a fundraiser in this way. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how that opportunity to build relationships with donors and build relationships with our patrons, I don't know how long that will take. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to set a goal that was too aggressive too early, because the last thing I wanted to do was set this person, you know, I wanted to set them up for success and not to just be frustrated from day three. Yeah. So I did, you know, really extend, you know, sort of what some of those achievements and some of those milestones might be, to give us plenty of time to make sure that they had the knowledge and the information that they needed to go out and be successful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it becomes easier, then maybe we can actually shorten some of those timelines and see some of those results even sooner.
Yeah, right. I love that. It's like there's a lightness to your voice when you say, well, we could exceed the expectations. That would be amazing. And a pleasant surprise. Yeah,
sure would be.
A pleasant surprise. So what might it be like to approach this challenge you have from the perspective of, it'll be easy. Maybe easier than it ever was in person before COVID.
I like the way you think.
I am pushing you a little bit.
You know, I would be delighted if that was the case. Like if it actually was easier. Not that I necessarily want to do this forever now, if this is going to be the new easy way to onboard somebody, but if it is, then I'll certainly take it and all the benefits that'll go along with it.
What do you feel like your biggest challenge is in this?
I think it's the unknowns. You know, we're there. I think that to me is the biggest challenge. You know, As I said, I have this thought around the plan. I know what we'd like to accomplish, but you know, if we go back into a lockdown situation, that may change. Mm-hmm.
So the unknowns here are like this big, scary, like, oh my God, there's a million what ifs here.
There are. Yeah.
What can you control in this?
I can control how I am in this and trying to keep reassuring my new colleague that we're going to get through this and we're going to keep working through this. And I can certainly keep listening. And what we've been doing so often over these last 12 months is like planning and replanning and reorganizing depending on whatever seems to be tossed our way. So I think I can certainly control that element, that we'll just adjust. I mean, it's what we've had to do and what we'll continue to do if we need to. I think those are the things that I know I can kind of own.
Yeah, you can own how you are in the situation. Yeah, that's beautiful. And Dawn Marie, I want you to be, sort of giving you some homework after this is, I want you to be the most amazing listener in this process. Okay. Listen to what people need, ask some questions, and get some sense of ideas as to what decisions need to be made from there. Can you go out and be a great listener?
Yes, I will do what I can to be a great listener. Absolutely.
Yeah. What's the, I will do what I can. What's that?
I don't know. I think, you know, I want to be a good listener, a great listener. And what I need to, I guess there's that moment of how I just need to make sure that I give myself the space to be that with the 9,000 other things that may be flying at me as well. So I also need to just make sure that that is the priority and meaning that I may have to push some other things away to make sure I am listening the way I need to be listening.
Mm, yeah. So I hear you, like there's some, in order to say yes to being a better listener, you're going to have to say no to some things sometimes. What are some of the things you might have to say no to?
I may have to say no to some of the timelines that are currently in place around some other things, and maybe we need to reevaluate while this onboarding process is happening, mm-hmm. whether or not I can actually meet some of those deadlines. We need to actually shift some of that around.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to stop you for a second. So I'm hearing this, that for, to do this onboarding, you need some space.
Yeah.
And listening is listening to others, but it's also listening to yourself.
Yes.
In this, that's the space that you're needing to create for this onboarding.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me to be the good listener and for me to be able to do the things I need for both my team as well as my new colleague, it means I have to set some new boundaries and some new, like, to be present like that during that time.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other things that I do have to just push out of the, into the
so
next
level.
So
is this space you need, is this time? Is it like a little bit every day? Is it like, I need 2 weeks of space? Is it like, what's the space you need?
For me, it feels like there's a bit of protected time every day.
Okay.
So that I can just say, okay, so for this 2 hour block, I'm focused on, you know, the onboarding process and what needs to happen. So during that time,
right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that my day gets 2 hours longer because I still need to actually do the other things, but that I just need to reprioritize and figure out that for the next month or 6 weeks or whatever that process might look like, that I have a little bit of this protected time to make sure I'm also serving the rest of my team and my new colleague to make sure that that integration is happening successfully.
Okay, so for the next 6 weeks, you want 2 hours of time a day.
Maybe that's too much, but whatever we figure out what that
1 hour
might be.
1 hour of time a day?
Let's start with an hour. And yeah.
Okay, let's start with 1 hour of time
for
the next 6 weeks is your protected time for onboarding.
Yeah.
Great. Is there a particular time of day you wanted to devote to that?
I think part of me needs to work with my new colleague around that.
Okay.
So that, because there may be some meetings that take place in the morning, some in the afternoon, like whatever that might be.
But
that
there will be 1 hour a day.
That we can protect at least that 1 hour of time. And it'll be dependent on what other activities we're actually part of.
Mm-hmm.
Around that.
Yeah.
And just also in that, listening to them is to say, like, maybe they need some time in the morning to kind of sort through what they learned yesterday. So it's better for us to meet at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's, they want to start their day with a conversation with me to talk about what they might accomplish that day.
Right.
Great. I want to be able to have that flexibility to do that.
So will you reach out to this new person and design with them what this 1 hour, when this 1 hour is going to happen and what it might look like for both of you?
Yes, I think that makes the most sense, to try and advance, determine, like, at least to put an initial parameter around that, saying, mm-hmm. like, let's talk about for at least the first week, what's the best time for us to connect.
Great.
Every day?
Yes.
And then we may be able to shift for week two and week three, that it's like, maybe let's do it in the afternoon, or we'll do it.
Yeah,
I love okay that. Today.
Yeah.
Let's
because it gives you an ability to do it in short spurts, like this week. What do we need this week? Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Here are the things that we want to accomplish. So, like, what does that mean for us? Or does mm-hmm. that mean you're spending more time with colleague A or B? That sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So, we're bringing this session to a close right now, Dawn Marie, and so, what are some of the main takeaways from this, and what are you committing to?
Oh, this is always my favorite part. This is where my to-do list comes in. So what I am committing to doing, I am committing to being a great listener. And whatever that means around that is, like, to be that listener. I'm committing to talking to my new colleague around at least setting the first week of the onboarding process, what that time that we will be spending together might look like, and listening to understand whether morning, afternoon, whatever might be best, and then figuring out what my schedule looks like around that. And I'm committing to realizing that there could be a whole lot of changes that come around as a result of this, and how to just work with that and figure out how to really make this meaningful for them as they're coming to join the team.
What's one of your values that you want to make sure you keep front of mind for you throughout this whole process to help you feel aligned to what's important?
I'm going to say purpose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dawn Marie.
Thank you, Michelle. This has been really great. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
All right. I'm going to come back in and let you, we'll give Dawn Marie some, a few minutes to process that. So like I said, yeah, I just want to point out some of the coaching skills that Michelle did in that, that really beautiful demo. I loved, there was some repeating things. Like I love, Michelle, how you you named like what we call the emotional field like quite early on, that there was like this breathlessness that was coming up for Dawn Marie. And then it actually came back in. I think when you kind of went to the future, you know, which is always really powerful, like in 6 months, what do you want this to look like? And then when it, and this is very common in coaching, Dawn Marie, is like there was sort of a like, let's go to some ideas, like a little bit of brainstorming energy, and then the breathlessness came back, and then it came back again sort of towards the end, like once you get clients or direct reports, like whoever you're coaching, to actually it's time to do something. That's not uncommon, that sort of like, ooh, that like emotion that was there kind of resurfaces. And so Michelle did like such a beautiful job, like you kept naming that and keeping that that sort of that word kept coming back, right? To kind of remind Dawn Marie. So that was really beautiful. And
thanks, Janice. Yeah. Janice and I are both trained in what's called co-active coaching. And so some of what Janice is pointing out is that with our clients, we're always looking at sort of that balance of being and doing. And a lot of us are really in the place of what we're going to be doing in our roles, and nothing wrong with that. It's rewarded by society and like, how much are you doing? And yet if we're all doing and we're not, if we're not feeling enriched or feeling balanced in what we're doing, then we get burned out. So there's this balance between how we want to feel, how we want something to feel, how we want the experience of it to be, versus what we are doing in that. And so I think that's some of what you're pointing out, Janice, that you were noticing. Yeah.
And it's also, I think, you know, and this is something really that, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a fundraising leader, probably, like you can see how quickly you can do this. And yet there is that important paying attention. Like sometimes we have a desire to go to the action too quick. And it's like, oh, actually, like a little bit more time is needed in the values, right? Because that was kind of what was happening in between, was like, there was some great conversation about values, which also then repeated. And I love, Michelle, especially like when it was time to commit, you got Dawn Marie to name again, like, what is the value, right? So that was like another thread that came through. And then you also had like a beautiful acknowledgement in there, right? So it's sort of like, it is a little bit like testing the waters, like, okay, we're going to the future, we're talking about values, let's start to talk about maybe like getting into action. And sometimes it's like, oh, a little too soon. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of go back. And then you intruded beautifully, because then I think, Dawn Marie, you kind of, and this happens again a lot, like you started to kind of talk about it rather than feel it, right? And Michelle was like, no, let me intrude. You know, let's kind of come back. And then you both got to ground it, which was like a really beautiful moment.
Yeah. How you doing, Dawn Marie?
I'm good. That was really lovely. We have only just met, but because I think so many of you and Janice share so many of the same kind of conversational techniques, that for me it felt very natural just to be that open with you, because there were questions that I would have expected Janice to ask me. and there was just, it just became this very uninhibited conversation very quickly, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, I think what you're pointing to too is that, you know, it's unique having a coach. It's like somebody to ask open-ended questions for you to be able to really think of the right answer for you can be really refreshing. you know, there's so few times in our life when we can, like, you know, talking to my husband, I could have great conversations with him, but he's going to give me advice all the time. He's going to tell me what to do and piss me off. Like, I don't want to do that.
Well, and I will say, because so many of the things that I'm asked on a daily basis require an immediate decision or something that has to just be done. And yes. How do we keep things moving forward? And as Janice was talking about sort of that action item, like that is most of my day. So to even just have those, that 10 or 15 minutes that we just had where I wasn't thinking about like the deadline of this, or did I respond to that email, or did I do whatever, that I could think of outside of that, mm-hmm. is really, really good for me. Like, I need to take my head out of the just immediate reaction kind of stuff to be able to think about how I want to be and as a leader, and also how I want to be in this new circumstance that I'm heading into. So to be able to have that space in that sort of circumstance is really, really helpful for me.
And that is so key to what you're pointing out, because the most effective leaders are actually conscious of what they need to drive rather than react to. So being in more of a creative energy of what we're creating is so much more powerful than reacting to things and just, you know, getting out of the fire.
Yeah.
And it's so often of where we are in that reacting state. And it's a muscle that we all have to build, is being able to be conscious of those patterns of behavior in order to make some changes.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, I love what both of you are saying. And like, there were, one of the things that came to me, Dawn Marie, as you were saying that, is like the questions are, we can't answer them with yes or no, right? Like, a lot of times you're getting very tactical questions. Like, there's a database in your mind where you go to, and it's like, this is the answer, or yes or no, or, you know, very simple. And, you know, I think Michelle asked a couple of times, like, what's important about that? Like, you know, and that's, it's just like such an open question, right? And you can take that wherever you want to go. Another one was like, what if it was easy? Like, these are 5 to 8 words, you know, questions, like very simple. And I think that's where, I think that's where we often get tripped up. Like, we try to complicate things. And it's like, no, just like, you can ask that, you can ask what's important about that, like 16 times in a conversation, and it will just take people deeper and deeper. You know, so I thought that was really beautiful. It was just such a lovely coaching. And I think a reminder of how, you know, how quickly you can get to something, because, you know, you really got to, like, what I saw in you, Dawn Marie, was you got to this place where you remembered that being an amazing listener, which I just want to acknowledge. I know you're an amazing listener. So, you know, I have no doubt you'll be able to do this homework easily, but to just, like, I felt this like I could feel you a little bit at the beginning, like, so caught up. I have this plan and I'm in charge and I got to do this and it's different and I've never done it before. And then Michelle got you to this place where you're like, oh yeah, I need to open my big ears and listen and then react to what's happening. And that was, you know, it just, and then it felt really easy to get you to like make the commitment from there and choose how to put that into action.
Well, and we're going to share with our listeners 10 questions that empower teams, so that you can all have, it's a tip sheet that we have, it's a free tip sheet, so that you as leaders have, it's okay to use cheat sheets. Like, what are, here's some good questions, 10 questions to be able to ask, to be a better listener, to be able to understand what people need. Yeah.
Yes. Don't reinvent the wheel.
Don't reinvent the wheel. You don't have to do that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So thank you again, Dawn Marie. You know, when we talked about this idea, we were like, who would be willing to do this in our community? And you were like, you came to mind immediately. And we were so grateful that you would say yes to doing this with us.
Well, thank you. It was really helpful and so meaningful. And it was, as I said, a real pleasure. Thank you. Yeah.
Pleasure to meet you, Dawn Marie.
Good, good. So, yeah, we're going to wrap more. Up. Yeah. Thanks for listening to our bonus podcast brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. And we'd love you to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't. We're on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Spotify. And as Michelle mentioned, we'll also link to a free resource of some powerful questions that you can ask in the show notes. Thanks for joining us. Curiosity.